Hello, warriors and supporters. Welcome to episode 4 of CWF Presents CRPS RSD is Real. This week, our operations assistant and warrior Kimberly is hosting. She is going to be talking with Jordan Simpson, head coach and owner of Be Different Fitness and Nutrition. We're going to touch on the Foundation 5 approach that Jordan utilizes. Jordan is also a sponsor for a warrior in our Route 66 Conqueror Challenge. So we're going to talk with him about that and see what motivated him and drove him to want to support and sponsor a warrior to participate in that challenge. So without any further ado, here's episode 4.
Hello, I'm Kimberly. I'm a CRPS Warriors Foundation volunteer and have CRPS myself, and I'm here with Jordan. He is a fitness and nutrition coach, and he's here to kind of give us some insight on how nutrition and fitness can be beneficial for CRPS patients. Hello, Jordan. Please introduce yourself and kind of give us a little bit of background about your journey.
I'm Coach Jordan, the owner of Be Different Fitness and Nutrition. First off, I'm just excited to be here. What got me into the fitness and nutrition realm is I grew up playing sports and nutrition was always a part of my life. I grew up a chubby kid, and that's where over time, the last 10 years, just studying kinesiology, so the movement of the body, nutrition, and how it impacts our health has kind of led me to starting my own business to be able to make a bigger impact on as many people as I can throughout my life.
That's wonderful. And when you say kinesiology, there might be some people out there, like you said, it's the study of how your body moves. Can you give me a little bit more information about it?
Kinesiology is, like you said, the movement of the body. It's a little deeper approach than you would get from a personal trainer that's looking more at just the musculature or biceps and triceps. But we really like to assess the overall movement that people have, whether it's a lack of movement or any compensations, tight muscles, joints that aren't working as well. So we like to look at people through a functional movement screening to see basically how well they do or don't move and in what areas. So then we could create training protocols for them to help improve any dysfunction that they have. And it's led me down. That's just the physical piece, but it's helped me kind of lead into a deeper understanding of overall health and kind of bled over into the nutrition aspect of it's not just, you know, macros that we take a look at, but the things that affect our body, how it impacts our energy, how it impacts our gut health and all of those pieces. So it's kind of like there's personal training. And then I believe kinesiology is kind of the bridge between, I would say, physical therapy and a personal trainer.
That's great. That helps a lot. And it kind of blends to me into that holistic approach that you're not just looking at one part of the body. You're looking at how the body as a whole is operating together with the movement of the kinesiology. But then, like you said, you're also focusing on nutrition, and I believe mindset is part of that as well. So can you tell me more about your approach to fitness and how that also led you to be introduced into CRPS?
Yeah, so I'll start on the CRPS and how I got introduced to it and blend it back into the fitness piece. So I was actually connected with the founder of the foundation, Deb Jankowski. She's in a networking group of mine. And so we do these meetings, they're called one-to-ones, where basically if we sit down for an hour to learn about, you know, what kind of business we have, how can we help each other. So that was my first introduction to it. I was actually out of town during that time. So we were on the phone, I was driving cross country and got to hear more about CRPS and be introduced to it that way. Then she also had a presentation that really brought the visual piece to it as well. The way that it connects to the fitness and nutrition coaching that we do in our approach is, I would say the style of coaching that we have is a lot more nurturing. It's a lot more slower approach to what most people think fitness and nutrition would cover. And that's kind of how we tie in our holistic approaches. We want to look at the individual as a whole person and looking at everything that's going on in their life. And when it comes down to it, it really is, we're trying to identify the stress that's going into the body, whether it's physical stress, mental, emotional, social, relationship, what kind of stressors are going on into their life, because the body's going to react to all those different stressors differently. It might be stronger against physical stress, but might be a little weaker in the emotional or even the mental stress state. So we want to help people identify all those pieces so then we get an idea of where to start. Basically, kind of what's the low hanging fruit that we could start with so we could start to pick up some wins and build some momentum and then start to really build a strong foundation? Because every individual is going to be different. That's what I've learned from CRPS. Similarly, every case is going to be very different. The severity is going to be different. The areas are going to be different. So being able to help identify or at least get the best understanding possible of what is going on with that specific individual and how we could approach it from different angles. Is it the fitness and movement piece that we start to incorporate? Or is it the nutrition and health coaching that we can approach it from? Is it a combination of the two? Are there different times of the day or different times of the week or different times of the month that we might need to? Is it the seasons that we want to take a look at and see how those are impacting when those symptoms become either more or less severe? How can we work around it?
That's great. Yeah, I don't think a lot of people would think about seasons necessarily, but I live on the East Coast and winter, I pretty much don't get to leave my house most of the time because the cold, how much it affects my CRPS. So seasons are a huge trigger for me. How do you get all of that information? Is there a specific, I know when I go to a doctor's appointment, if my intake wasn't done beforehand, it's going to end up taking a very long time to do. So how do you approach that intake process?
Our first form that we usually send out is going to be a metabolic assessment. I want to get an idea of what does your movement look like? What does your nutrition look like? So there'll be pieces like how many steps are you getting throughout each day? How much sleep are you getting throughout each day? And one of the main things I try to look at is the biofeedback, meaning would you rate your strength 1 to 10? How would you rate your energy 1 to 10? How would you rate your sleep? How would we rate our digestion? Because all of those are basically what our body is telling us about what's going on with it. Those are going to be indicators. We like to look at the digestion. We like to look at all of those deeper rooted things that our body tells us, but a lot of people tend to just either push it aside, ignore it so they can just keep working or pushing through the day. As I tell people, those things aren't normal. When we have pains, when we have these issues, those aren't normal, but we could also use that as signals of improvement. So that's one of the big components of our initial assessment that we'll bring in. And oftentimes an assessment is more than just one piece of paper or one form to fill out. We want to take a look over the first month so we could reassess and see how things are going. I'm going to learn more within that first month or, you know, as we continue working with you, we're going to continue learning more about you. You'll learn more about me and how we can work together throughout this process. Because like I said, different seasons and things are going on. So if it's summer and things are fine and dandy, and then the fall comes and temperatures are changing, that's going to have an effect on someone with CRPS or even people that don't have CRPS and how the, you know, parents have kids going back to school. And we want to look at all of those things and how can we make a plan to be adjustable and adaptable to what's going on.
That's wonderful, because it definitely is different. If someone fills out an intake form on Monday, they may feel completely different about their body on Friday, and following up and not just having just how you feel that day, that's a full body holistic approach to somebody, not just an initial form.
Yeah, the biggest things for us in health and fitness, and it's pretty common amongst what I'd say are the better coaches, is their response is when people ask them a question, it depends, because each individual is going to be different. Like you said, you could be feeling different in the morning than you do at night. And those are things that you want to take note of. But again, we're in such a culture that's always moving fast that we just kind of push those signs aside. So yeah, definitely want to help build awareness around that.
Yeah, absolutely. Something that I wanted to ask you was, is there anything that changes when it is a CRPS patient versus when it's somebody who doesn't have CRPS?
I think it's going to be a lot slower approach, because knowing how quickly things could change. I remember watching the video that Deb had showed us in our meeting, and just the gust of wind could impact the CRPS and trigger it and make it worse. And just even knowing her and the things that she goes through day in and day out, like a lot of it is adapting from a hour by hour approach. So really getting an understanding of that. And a big part is trying to communicate with the client to communicate with us. Let us know what's going on so we can help provide whatever feedback is possible. And it's going to be oftentimes more reactive, but taking note of that process and seeing, you know, are we able to identify specific triggers that may cause it and how can we approach it? So it becomes a lot more focused coaching throughout the process, because we need that communication piece versus someone that comes in to train with us two times a week that's just there for fitness. So it becomes more of a shift towards health coaching and awareness coaching, so we can make the adaptations to what's going on and also celebrate the wins throughout the process too, because we want to make sure that we keep whatever momentum that we can. Like I said, it depends and every individual is going to be different. So the wins for one CRPS client is going to be different than the next one, but we want to make sure that those are celebrated to keep that momentum going, because I know it could be really tough.
That's really great. I think the coaching aspect, the support, the trust you're trying to create, the communication is what patients who are dealing with something like CRPS need. And having someone who's there to help you figure out what the triggers are, how to help calm them, is really beneficial, because a lot of people don't have that. When you talk about nutrition, what are some key things that would help somebody? Do you start with just a general slate, or is it really kind of you're figuring out what they're eating and then based off what they're eating, what you would adjust?
Yeah. So I would say the first start is figuring out how much are they ready, willing, and able to do with their nutrition. So throughout that first assessment gives me an idea of, do we have our foundations kind of set? Typically, our foundations is going to be some water intake, looking at food quality, and then food quantity. So we like to take a look at those three components first, at more of a macro view, and then we could kind of break down from there. Because if we aren't getting enough food for the body, we need to start making sure we eat enough to fuel, because a quantity-based approach typically has a bigger impact on overall health. If we are overweight and we're overeating, we're going to want to reduce our intake, because that'll have the biggest mover in the process. But it's not just, hey, I need you to eat less. We'll find ways to incorporate the nutrition quality to change it. So instead of, hey, we have a lot of processed foods, this is causing maybe some gut disruption, bloating, stuff that would cause stress on your body, let's just change those. We're naturally going to reduce your overall calories just by improving the quality as well. So you kind of kill two birds with one stone in that process. But again, each individual is going to be different depending on what their nutrition skills look like. Do they know how to cook meals, or do we need to work on just frozen meals? And you're able to improve quality by getting frozen chicken versus having to cook chicken. So they could just throw it in a microwave, or they could air fry it. But if they have cooking skills or have some sort of basis of cooking knowledge, all right, cool. Now we could have more whole foods in the house, more fruits and veggies that we could cook with, and recipes. I could send them, if they have that knowledge, I could send them a recipe card that they could work on that I know will help improve their overall food quality, reduce the inflammation on their body. So again, it depends on the individual on how we approach that.
Awesome. And I saw on your website something called metabolic sequencing protocol. Explain to me what that is.
So the metabolic sequencing protocol is a four-phase approach that we put together that I actually pretty much went through myself for my own health journey. The first phase is foundations, where we build your foundation, we build routine, we become more aware of what's going on. And this one, all phases are also individualized in fitness, in nutrition, and then overall health. We'll take people through those four phases. So we want to figure out, do we have a foundation of fitness? Are we walking on a daily basis, or can we walk on a daily basis? And are we able to get into the gym to do some sort of strength training or resistance exercise 1 to 2 times a week? That's where we'll start with that. For the nutrition piece, going back to that water intake, getting an idea of where our food is, just building awareness around our food, and then picking simple tasks like increasing our protein intake or grocery shopping once a week, or making sure that we have, again, more routines built into our schedule. And then from a health standpoint, we're going to take a look at one's sleep. We're going to take a look at their overall stress load, energy levels, So then we could start to, again, build a foundation around that. Maybe it might be starting a sleep routine or just getting to bed at the same time every night. So small tasks that we know we could really start to lay down a foundation of overall health. Some of those areas, for example, the nutrition piece tends to be a lot harder for people, but they'll progress through their fitness a lot quicker than their nutrition. So we're able to go into phase two, which is what we call priming. So I'll just use the training standpoint. If you have any questions on the other, the nutrition and health piece, we could jump into it. But just for the sake of sequence, the priming phase in the gym would look like if we already have our routine built out, now we could start to push the gym and our intensity a little more. So usually in our foundations phase one, we're focused on routine and building more movement, a lot of body weight exercises. Phase two is now let's incorporate some more strength stuff. Let's start challenging ourselves and really see how far we could push ourselves. And it's not going to be super high intensity, but a lot more belief shattering and breaking into new areas with their strength. Phase three is what we call the acceleration phase. Now that we've built a foundation, we've primed up the body, we could get into something higher intensity. Because I know on the worst days, they're still working on things like walking every day. They're still getting their nutrition in. They're still getting some sort of movement because we've built that in through the first two phases. So in phase three, we could really push it. The floor that they'll fall back on is built up much higher. So this will look like more cardio-based stuff where they might be walking more often or a treadmill walk after their workouts, higher intensity training with whether it's pushing more weights or more cardio-based activities and circuits. And then we're going to take a look at the body throughout that process, making sure that sleep is still good, making sure that their energy levels are okay, making sure they aren't super sore. Because once we get those signals from the body, that's when we step out of phase three and move on to phase four, which is our maintenance phase. We assume people want to keep their results, so we want to make sure that we ease out and get back to a recovery state of basically an equilibrium with their overall rest and back into a routine. And now they're able to cycle through that process consistently and continue to see results, but they're continuing to build on the habits that they had before. The reason why the metabolic sequencing protocol works so well is because of those first two phases that a lot of people skip when they think of dieting or doing a boot camp for 30 days or some sort of challenge where I'm going to go from a couch potato to working out 5 days a week and I'm going to only eat X, Y, and Z. And then after the 30 days, I lose all this weight. I'm going to try to maintain that. But as we all know, life happens and 90% of people that lose weight gain it back and some. So we built in those first two phases to be consistent throughout the process. And again, on their worst days, they're still building on some sort of activity. They're still building on some sort of nutrition commitment that they made to themselves. But it's not something that's hard. It's something that's going to continue to slowly progress throughout the process.
It sounds like it's an investment for your body that you know that this isn't going to be a quick thing, that you're making a foundation, like you said, to get a little bit by bit. Because I know I could feel great 1 week and that's when I decide, oh, I'm going to go try and walk. And then I overdo it. And the next week I'm back to not being able to get up. So in a situation like that, it sounds like you're really trying to create a foundation for people so they don't just go jump on a treadmill and do more than they can do.
Correct. Yes, it's exactly that. And because we want to stop the yo-yo dieting, we want to stop the yo-yo gym going, because that continues to play a bigger role in your overall health long term. Because every time we jump on a diet and put that stress on our body, or in the case that you're talking about, like someone jumping on a treadmill and or going to run 1 or 2 miles because that's what they did in the past but they haven't done it in 10 years, you're putting a heavy stress on the body. That's why we end up sore or with an injury because it was too much. Chances are you're not going to want to do it again because you said that sucked. Why would I want to do that again? I guess it's not for me. But if we just started walking before we started running, or if we started instead of walking a mile, what happens if we walk half mile? So like in your case, that if you are feeling good and then you go walking and then you're out, you feel like you're down for the count for a week, we could assess, okay, how far did you walk? What if we taper it back? Because half a mile is better than no mile, even a quarter mile is better than 5 minutes is going to be better than nothing. And that's something that we could continue building on, figuring out where that point of overload that it triggers the CRPS or the symptoms to make it worse, whatever it might be. But again, documenting the process from a more physical fitness and nutrition approach. And then the nutrition piece will hopefully help reduce that inflammation and reduce the overall stress. So we can, maybe it's when I'm eating more fruits and veggies, I notice I'm able to walk longer distances. Now we're making those correlations to our nutrition and seeing how that's helping. And also trying to keep a balance throughout it, because for the people with the all or nothing mentality, like, well, I'm going to eat 10 bananas and 100 blueberries and go for a walk because that's what that worked last time, but I'll just do more. We want to make sure that we're trying to find the right balance throughout that process.
Balance is so important, especially with your mindset too, because doing that yo-yoing, it's not good for your body, but it's also not good for your mindset and wanting to continue to keep doing it. And I know that mindset was on your site is one of those pieces of that holistic approach. Can you tell me some of the things you focus on with people's mindset and keeping it positive?
Yeah, definitely. When it comes to the mindset, first thing we want to establish is the why. When we can get deeply rooted into our why, it'll help our momentum in building on that. Secondly, we want to make sure that we are thinking about our next step, not our next mile. Because through the mind, that process, we want to build our mindset more around the process and journey that we're working on, not the destination. Because we want people to fall more in love with the process and have more enjoyment with the process, because they'll go farther in their journey than they think, than they put their goal to whatever that destination is. If they enjoy that process enough, then they'll continue down it. And that's where that sustainable long-term success comes from. It's not because we hit that goal and now I'm done, because if the goal is the only thing you have in mind, what happens when you accomplish it? Are you going to stop all the things that you did to get there? No, we want to make sure that we're focusing on and we are enjoying the process through it. And there's going to be days that are up and down. And my favorite things I say is motivation is just is an emotion. It's not going to last forever, but our commitment and our why will last much longer and continue to push us forward. So the mindset piece is if anything, the most impactful when it comes to one's health journey. The more that they become aware of the things that are affecting them, and more understanding and education around what's going on, it'll help fuel their why and have a better understanding and start to get a clear view of what their process will look like. So instead of getting hung up on not being able to get where I want to be, instead being more focused and enjoying of how I'm moving forward.
Makes sense. Having the why be what picks you up out of the dark times, right? To keep you going forward. Can you tell me why you decided to sponsor Warrior in the Route 66 challenge that we have going on?
Yeah. After seeing that video and just learning more about Deb and knowing that if there's something that I could do to help someone, then I want to be able to do it. Be Different is built around faith as well. So our slogan is Pray, Train, Eat, Repeat. And we incorporate faith as part of our culture and community and the people that who we are. And that's always been a part of me and has been rooted in my faith too. If I'm able to help someone, then I'm going to do it. And that's something both myself and Coach Rudy, my business partner, that we started this business for. We provide a lot of free resources and time to people that don't know anything about health and fitness in the hopes that one day it hits them and they're able to make progress. So the reason why I sponsored with someone is because it was an opportunity for me to be able to help someone and be able to help a warrior in the process. And again, after hearing the severity and learning more about CRPS, it's not fair that this happens. Life, and we all know that life isn't fair, but if there's any way that I could move the needle a little bit for someone, that me with my purpose and journey here on earth. I want to be able to help as many people as possible. That's my goal with the company that I've built, is to impact as many lives as possible. And if it's sponsoring someone and just being an ear for someone, or being able to provide resources for someone, or just my time and having a conversation in the hopes that they walk away with some value or some direction with their health, fitness, or nutrition, then that's a win in my book. Then
thank you not only for the sponsorship, also for your outlook and your want to help. And then I think that I just wanted to say thank you.
Appreciate it. Thank you. I mean, just thank you for having me on here and being able to talk about, you know, what we do, and in the hopes that we're able to provide some knowledge or something for the people that are listening.
And that's the point of this, is to try and spread awareness, because that is what is truly lacking and can hopefully start being resolved, even if it's just one person at a time. Is there something that you're currently working on that you're really passionate about, or something that's going on that you want to talk about?
Yeah, I would say right now, both mine and my business partner's personalities is we're always go, go, go. So something personally I've been trying to work on is focusing on less tasks so we could be more efficient with how we impact people, making sure people aren't falling through the cracks. So how can we continue to have conversations with more people? How can we get in front of more people? So it isn't a specific project that we're working on. If anything, it's our efficiency as coaches to make bigger impact, knowing that, you know, we can only do so much with the time that we have in each day and in our life. But how are we able to be more efficient in understanding of the time that we have and utilizing that? I'm personally working on something on the back end. It's a functional foundations nutrition course that really looks at the basics and help, basically kind of what I talked about earlier with how can I have bigger, more impact, doing a cohort style approach to a functional health foundations course. So what that looks like is a 4-week course where we're able to get everybody either on a Zoom call or together in person, whatever it might be. And we're able to kind of break down what's going on in everybody's health and start to build that foundations process, but together as a community, as a team. That way people can bounce ideas off each other. That's our overall goal with our business, is to build more community-based stuff. So people know that they're not the only ones that are going through this, and that myself and Coach Rudy aren't the only people that could help them, but just bring clarity to the process of improving their overall health and fitness. So we'll take a look at, again, their health parameters, their sleep, and making sure that we're able to optimize and provide the resources needed throughout that process.
That's great. And so you're creating a community, even though you said it could be through Zoom calls. So even though you're located in California, people all over the place could be part of that community.
Yeah. Yeah. So what I envision is that we'll probably have one for here in person, and then one for online as well. So for example, a lot of people in person can't meet at the same time. So usually later in the afternoon, more people could be involved with that. So that way there's different times that people could join us. And we actually do offer online coaching. We have a few different clients around the US that we do health and fitness coaching with, that we basically jump on calls like this to be able to touch base. We have everybody on an app that we could send different practices, resources, check-ins. They could send their food journals to us, basically able to keep everything in one place, but keep in touch throughout the process. And I'll meet with them either once a week, once a month, to, again, touch base to see what's going on and then make any adjustments to their plan so they could continue moving forward, and then revisit for our next coaching call to get any updates. Week or every other week, they will get a what we call a check-in form, that they kind of log, you know, what thing been going on, what went well, what didn't go well, how can we continue the things that went well, how can we improve, or what did we learn from what didn't go well, what do we need to plan for the upcoming week, how are the workouts going if they're doing a training program with us. So we do offer online coaching as well.
It is helpful. It's hard to find people that necessarily have the viewpoints that you do or are familiar with CRPS. So when there's limited resources, being able to still communicate with them from a distance can be really helpful.
Yeah, and I think that's part of our goal with trying to make more impact other than just the community that we live in. But how can we share? And, you know, social media is a great tool when used correctly to be able to share value when you're following the right people to and getting in front of the right people that are sharing what you want and what you need to hear. And that's kind of our goal with our social media as well.
I know social media can be one of those positive or negative triggers, depending on what you spend your time looking at. So having more positive out there is always a good thing.
Yeah, we actually do a practice for our clients that tend to scroll a lot. It's a social media detox. So just like nutrition, we don't cut out foods very often unless it's having a negative impact on your body. With nutrition, we try to incorporate better foods. So same thing with our social media. How can we do that? We could, for example, on Instagram, you could either unfollow people that every time their post comes up, you feel a negative emotion. Let's either mute them or get rid of them. That way, the rest of your feed is going to be things that stimulate something positive or provide value to you. So we do have that control, but oftentimes we're easy to find the entertaining stuff. And for some reason, humans are naturally attracted to negative things. And that's why the news is always tend to be negative, because we want to hear these crazy stories, but it has a subconscious effect on us negatively. So how can we be aware? Again, awareness is always going to be the first thing that we want to know and want to start working on. But how can we be aware of the negative things around us in our environment that we could control? I want to touch on all those three areas, the fitness, nutrition, and health. Our foundation five that we try to focus on covers all of those. But make it a goal to try to get outside and walk every day. That has multiple benefits to it. Whether it's 5 minutes, whether it's 50 minutes, but getting outside with sunlight is going to help provide that impact. Again, for someone with CRPS, that might be a trigger. So what are other ways that we're still able to get sun and being able to move our body? But being able to just move our body on a daily basis helps with our nervous system. It helps. The sun is going to provide the natural vitamin D. It's also going to help our sleep, which is another component of the foundation five that we touch on, which is get better quality sleep. So getting a walk in the morning or getting a walk at night when the sun's coming up and down is going to help your natural melatonin production, which will ultimately help your overall sleep. But also building out some sort of sleep routine, trying to go to bed at the same time and waking up at the same time. That way your body gets used to it. You're resetting your circadian rhythm. Instead of resetting it all the time, you're setting it on your own. So your body knows what to expect. From another exercise point that we have in our foundation five, I mentioned earlier, is training 1 to 2 days a week, some sort of resistance training. If you're capable of doing that, trying to incorporate even body weight exercises, squats, push-ups, strength training is head and shoulders the best form of exercise that you could do for your body, not just for the appearance, weight loss, or muscle gain component, but how it impacts other parts of your body, the mental health that comes with it, the hormonal balancing and production that it supports. So strength training is really impactful. Water intake, I mentioned earlier, but being able to get at least half your body weight in ounces of water is one of our first goals for a lot of people. So if you weigh 150 pounds, your goal is 75 ounces of water. And then lastly, being aware of your overall stress load. I mentioned those different areas of physical, mental, emotional, social, and relational stressors that we are challenged with. And I would also throw in spiritual as well, but making sure that you have a good understanding of where you lie with those and how you could gauge each of those and get, that's going to help build your awareness to what triggers you physically, what triggers you mentally, emotionally. The more that you could kind of rate yourself in those areas and give yourself a 1 to 10 range, now you're able to make adjustments to it. So those are something components that we like to touch on. And lastly is the nutrition, incorporating more whole foods as much as possible. So that's going to be your lean meats, fruits, and veggies. So typically you want to try to shop the perimeter of the store. Those are going to be more nourishing for your body. Yes, it might take some cooking on your end, but there are ways that you can get different recipes. We have a bunch of different recipe packs that we will gladly share with anybody that's listening to this, but we have a bunch of different resources when it comes to nutrition, starting to plan out your meals, whatever it might be. We have resources for it. So I just kind of want to touch on that because I think that is the best starting point for someone that isn't working with the coach, but to be able to get an understanding of your overall health. Those things will help you build awareness and give you a little direction of where you should start heading to improve your overall health, because the biggest thing that we're looking at is your stress and how those different components are impacting it.
That's great. Thank you for that information. I think that will help anybody that is listening. So with someone with CRPS, I have a lot of atrophied muscle. When it comes to starting to work out or exercise those parts of your body that have atrophied muscles, is there any type of tip that you have for people?
I would start with mobility exercises first to at least make sure that our movement is good. But when it comes to the atrophy of the muscles, I believe isometric exercises would be your best starting point because we're not doing a lot of joint movement. So for example, if we use the bicep curl as an example, being able to just hold the weight or just tightening up those muscles are going to stimulate that area. So for example, right now I'm clenching my fist and I'm squeezing my bicep and making basically kind of flexing those areas. That's still going to stimulate that muscle. So when it comes to fitness, especially muscle growth, we want to be able to send those signals to the body, to the muscle, that it's working. And then the second component, when we atrophy, we need to make sure we get protein so our body can build it. So if we are constantly sending, or more often than we were before, sending signals to our body to work on specific muscles and areas time over time, then our body's like, well, if we're going to continue flexing this muscle, we're going to have to grow it, or we're going to have to do something to make that easier. So you can start incorporating the next type of exercise. I think isometrics is the most impactful for someone with CRPS because you take out a lot of movement, which may increase the intensity or increase or cause some sort of trigger because you're moving throughout the body or throughout a joint.
That's a great tip. Thank you. Because it is starting from a different point of view. And I think that you have created a space when you talk that people can come to you at where they are. They don't need to be embarrassed at where they're starting. And even if it is from just starting to get your body to do little movements that you couldn't do before, that's a starting place and people shouldn't feel self-conscious about it.
Yeah. And whether it's self-conscious or nervous about movement, I'm a big believer in mobility and just being able to move our body better and more efficiently. That's when we talk about fitness in general, we focus on mobility and stability as the foundation before we start getting into resistance training. So we want to make sure, I would much rather your muscles and joints move better with less pain, if we're coming from pain, but be able to move more efficiently with less pain or no pain if possible, before we start building up physically or building up the size of the muscle.
Is there anything else that you would like to share?
I just want to encourage anyone that is listening to us to reach out, whether it be to myself or Coach Rudy and our team. Like you said, we want to create that safe space to just be able to chat and be able to provide anything that we can, any knowledge. As I always explain, God has given us the life that we've lived so far and the knowledge in the health and fitness space to be able to provide to others. And if you choose to work with us, we would be more than happy to do so. But really, we want to just be able to create that impact. And like I said, we have a bunch of free resources that we put together. A lot of it is focused on reducing the stress on your body through nutrition and through general movement and health practices. So know that you have support and you have resources. I know whatever you might be going through is tough, but this foundation is amazing. And that the fact that we're able to, you know, have conversation right now and the things that are going on and the resources that the foundation's put together is incredible. And I hope that they continue to find the encouragement to keep moving forward and staying strong each day. Even when it seems really rainy, we're always available to be able to at least have a conversation.
Thank you so much for your support and for being a resource and for sharing your knowledge with us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Kimberly, for a wonderful episode. And Jordan, thank you so much for sharing all of that very valuable information that is so beneficial for our warriors. Your approach is so fundamental to a long-lasting improvement in life that anybody could stick to, which makes it very unique. We're very grateful that you take the time out to be a resource and share this information on our episode here. Anybody that would like more information on Jordan or would like to get in touch with him, you can look him up on his website via the link in the episode description. If you would like to support Warriors and the Foundation, you can text CWF Podcast, all caps, no spaces, to 53555. Check in on our social media to stay up to date on how our warriors are doing on this Conqueror Challenge on Route 66. To all our warriors out there listening, stay strong, warriors strong. Tune in on the 15th for our next episode.